All mechanical creation, all images of enslavement and imprisonment, all rage and anger of death and hell and the murder and the murderer's intent, the confusion of masculine and feminine roles, all portrayal of sexual perversion, including homosexuality and lesbianism, sympathy for Satan and the sorrows of Satan, association with the Nephilim and spacecraft, all perversions of the third eye through distorted and exaggerated images, perverted movements of the body and break dancing and other forms of dancing. And we especially call for the judgment in this hour and the destroying of rock music directed specifically against children through the videos that were portrayed. And working specifically through these individuals, for whom we call for the judgment of the sacred fire in this hour before the throne of Almighty God.
They were caught on film, bunch of UFOs over Japan. Japanese got it. And let me see where else I got it. Japanese in U.S. cities. And causing an uproar over in Russia, where Putin has put together an aerospace defense forces. And so I know I heard from somebody who said that they saw a bunch of them in North Carolina yesterday. I was surprised nothing was on the news. Any starships are always out, folks, but when they want to be obnoxious and be seen, they'll get together and put on a show to be obvious, saying, hey, we're up here. And the difference being sometimes it's the military and sometimes it's not. Sometimes it's actual UFO ships. And so what I could see in the codes was that it was actual UFO ships as part of the Ashtar fleet, who I call the Buffalo. Bible refers to them as Buffalo. Various different alien races involved with them. They're all one. You've got the Greys, the Almond Eye Race aliens. You've got the Reptilians, the Dracos. They're all together in that Luciferian faction. And they're the ones who basically control the Earth. And something I've been talking about for the last 14 years now, almost going on 15, and certainly something I've been studying my entire life since I was 12 years old, studying Bible prophecies and last days events. And it's always a learning curve, because certainly John and Daniel and Zechariah and Isaiah and Jeremiah certainly didn't describe in our terms, you know, mind-to-skull technology, chip implants, ELF weapons, EMP weapons, nuke weapons. I mean, they had no understanding of the things the believers in today would be going through. But they gave us markers and of end time events to watch for. And, you know, it's like the book of Genesis, where you get a quick picture of the creation in one or two chapters. You know, you have about 22 in Revelation of wrapping everything up with John and about end days prophecy. And so they give you overviews. And so you have to do the research and the searching to find out the other aspects. There's prophets throughout the Bible will drop clues on things that will be happening in the last days. So it takes pretty much, it's always learning. It's not something you could just all write down and memorize at once. It's just always learning, always new things being revealed. And so this is what the Lord has stood me up to do in these last days is teach the masses. And I often find it amusing that I don't give sermons, I give lectures. You know, the Bible codes are referred to my radio shows as lectures. I guess that's the easiest English term to use for whatever is described in Hebrew there. But I find it funny. It's basically what I do. It's just a teaching session. I teach people what's going on. So we have this blacking out technology going on in the skies and a lot of the clouding, and that's them trying to hide their destruction. Usually when we start setting all their ships on fire, they blacken out the sky and they cloud it so people can't see them crashing out of the skies, or they can't see any of the firefighting going on up in the upper levels of heaven. We often have fights going on between the alien factions. You also have angelic wars against them. And so people often say, I see a lot of lights but I don't hear thunder or lightning. That was probably a fight going on, you know. And those can be some of the most dramatic and best things to watch if you know what you're looking for. I'm not talking about heat lightning. I'm talking about some good old firefighting. You know, I seen one a long time ago right here in Little Carrollton, Ohio. I was out putting orgone out in this, you go 5 miles outside of town here in the country here. So I was out in the country area, and a UFO had been following me. You know, and this is back when I first started this whole war, and finding ways that, wow, this orgone can be used to do a lot of things, and I was putting it out everywhere, and it was one of my very first little trips outside of town, putting orgone everywhere, and this UFO was following me, watching me, and then this other UFO came in, and it looked like they were confronting each other. There was going to be a fight, you know, I was watching them, you know, it was cool. It was like the one was trying to fend off the other one. The one that was following me looked like it was actually protecting me, serving as kasunk. Might have been an angelic ship or something. I didn't know what was going on. they were fighting against the other one. I saw a beam shoot out. And so that's kind of cool when you see them fighting in the sky and you see them shooting those Star Trek beams at each other, you know. It just goes back a long way to where, you know, over the years the Father has used me to be an arbiter between some of these fallen race, the children of the offspring of the angels that fell, and the Father, because people don't realize, because they see one verse of one rank of angels in the Bible, and they say angels can't reproduce. And that's not true. We know from Enoch that angels met on Mount Hermon and made a pact to come to Earth so that they could procreate with human women. Now, if they couldn't reproduce, why would they be lustful and excited about coming to Earth and being with human women? And when they were cast out of heaven, they still had their own communities amongst themselves. They took up residences. They'd already had residences on starships and planets throughout the universe. It wasn't the first time the angels had fell. Satan's rebellion had happened before then. He'd established himself in space. Then the Mount Hermon, the Hermon angels, all them that fell because they wanted to be with human women. And all of these angels had offspring amongst themselves. There were women involved as well. People always say, oh, there's no angels as women. The only ones we can find are in Zechariah. And that's because of your scribes that wrote this stuff. They never involved women in their writings. To them, they used one, they used one word, and that was men. And that meant mankind in general. It was men, women, children. And the Jewish scribes, the only ones you'll find, women listed you'll find, is Esther and Deborah and Mary. They'll do some of the prominent ones, maybe give them a blurb here and there, because they can't escape it. I mean, you can call them women haters or whatever you want, but they wouldn't write about the female aspect of things. Probably because Satan hates women. He hates women. They were his destruction. And to this day, they still are. It is the women who destroy him. And so, we've always gotten a bad rap and a beat down. But that doesn't mean there's no women of angels, because there's tons of them. There's as many women as there are men, male angels. So, where was I? They had offspring. Now, I don't know why the women fell. Maybe they fell because some of their best friends that were male angels fell. I don't know why they came with them. But they did. Some of them did. A lot of them fell, too, with the men. Maybe they just brought their whole families. I don't know. Maybe they had families. I don't know about angels having families in heaven, very vaguely. Memories are real scant. But either way, they had offspring. You can't deny it, because I deal with them. So how else would they have offspring? I may not be able to describe all the details of why they have them, but I know they have them because I deal with them. And I think in their fallen state, they could live to be about 700 or 1,000 years. And so they've evolved over the thousands of years. Satan's rebellion has been thousands of years. Now, the Mount Hermon rebellion has probably been about 6,000 or 7,000 years. back at the time of Noah. So that's why the Lord destroyed the earth, because of their offspring on earth, taking human women and making these hybrid kids, the Nephilim. So other than the kids on earth, offspring on earth, they produced giants. They were also producing offspring in the heavens. And if you'll look at scripture, the first and second heavens is where a dominant amount of angels, majority amount of angels, reside. Now in Satan's realm, principalities, powers of air, they're given different ranks. And they rule over cities and dominions and nations and things like that. But it's also in the heavenly realm where a lot of angels reside, and they do a lot of the tasks at hand that the Father has them do. For instance, every man a word speaks is recorded. And so these angels are busy recording the things you say and do. There are records kept. And I've told you, Father is one that dots his I's and crosses his T's. His organization is meticulous. And records are kept. Now, if you're a child of God, those records will be wiped out and erased. But don't think you're not going to answer for things at the judgment seat of Christ. You're going to be forgiven. Your sins are forgiven. But it could mean loss of rewards. It could be an abundance of rewards. So don't think that the things you say and do, even if you think you're hiding on the internet behind your backseat cowboy hat and you decide to go and troll other Christians, the Father does not take that lightly. He does not like the kids fighting, put it that way. You know, Satan's our enemy, not fellow believers. We may not agree with their doctrines and their beliefs. Ignore them and move on. I never advocate fighting against anybody. I may have to say something like, quit channeling Sananda. All these believers who think they're channeling God are not channeling God, but they think they're hearing messages from the Father, and they're channeling evil spirits, false doctrines, false whatevers. And that gets annoying because that's so abundant on the internet. And they all quote Joel 2:20. We're in the last days. People would have visions and dreams and prophecies. And folks, that's not even at this time right now. So don't use that to try to justify all your false garbage you're putting out there. That doesn't even come around until after, I guess you could say, the pole flip is a marker when the tribulation period starts. And so the day of the Lord, put it that way. After the day of the Lord starts, and that has not started yet. When it does start, you will know. I get on these rabbit trails, and my back's really hurting tonight, so. If you hear me doing that, it's because I'm moving, and it hurts my back to do that. So. Yeah, I want to talk about the caravan of UFOs, because that actually is legit. One of the things I wanted to bring up is the fact that there's conflicting stories out there about how all this UFO stuff is fiction, it's man-made, it's, you know, every nation has a space command because they have their own space fleets. And that's true. America, Russia, Japan, China, India, these power nations, Germany, Europe, they all have their own space commands because they have their own space fleets, which means they have Star Trek crafts we have never seen with our physical eyes, maybe some of you on the inside, and they roam space like Star Trek. That stuff exists. Where do you think they got their ideas? We don't come up with this stuff on our own. Fiction is usually a truth that's being masked in fiction format. So think of it, we probably had this stuff back in the 50s. So think of how old Star Trek is. And they don't hide the fact that they have space fleets now. We have our space command in Tampa. And it's also run out of NORAD, and other countries have theirs. Japan's huge. And I see that in the codes all the time, how huge Japan is with the space stuff. They work a lot with the Buffalo, what people call the Ashtar Command or Ascended Masters. The Japanese work a lot with them. Probably building ships and stuff like that, because the aliens really aren't all that brilliant. Yeah, they do have their own stuff, but usually, you know, their stuff is built off-world. And somebody made an interesting point the other day. I've never thought of it, because I, like I said, the stuff, he's just a lifelong student, always learning. But reptilians theoretically only have like 3 fingers on their hands. These worm, or like the huge alien gray races and all that, just have, you know, their hands aren't like ours. And so they need humans to build their stuff because they don't have the ability with their own hands to do it. And so I thought that was interesting because I knew, you know, for thousands of years since man's been created, the aliens have been abducting humans off the Earth and putting them on different star systems, what we call stuck constellations, which is a big lie, because they're actually just alien star systems and formations that we call constellations. And they are livable because they've been taking humans there for years. They take humans off the Earth, and they produce these breeding farms on these planets elsewhere, Mars, Saturn. They're all inhabitable because even Satanists will say, oh, I was taken to Saturn and shown Lucifer's temple. Now, if they couldn't survive that, why would they be taken there? If it wasn't possible, how would they get there? These things are very possible. Yeah, it's 400 million miles light year away. Not if you take a portal. You know, you could portal there in no time. They don't tell you the real gist of anything. And I've heard this stuff from people, so I'm not crazy. So they've taken humans to these planets, and I've heard about this. I heard about this back in the Greek mythology days. Humans being taken. And they're held in as prisoners, and they're forced to mine planets. The material they use on UFOs, some kind of metal, some kind of helium, probably balloons. When they say that they're balloons, perhaps they are. I don't know, because the material is can be collapsible, but there's also there's different types. There's also the kind that's the hard metal. I know I've pulled out of my tires black glass metal that doesn't look like anything from this earth because they're always sabotaging my car tires. I find all kinds of weird stuff in them. But it's like, where would that black glass metal come from? What the heck is that? It doesn't look like anything on this earth. You know, and I pull out nails and everything else. They're always sabotaging my tires, my vehicle. But that's, and they eat humans. You know, I've been saying that. That's all true. That stuff you hear from people is all true. They eat them. That's why they breed them. They have breeding farms. We're like cattle to them. And so a FEMA camp with the barbed wire to hold people in, it's like a cattle pen to them. Because to them, we're cattle. You know, this is like Planet of the Apes in reverse, where the animals play humans and the humans are treated like animals. That's exactly what's going on, folks. To them, we're just cattle. And so they have these breeding farms on other planets, and, you know, they use the humans for breeding for a constant food supply, and they use them to mine the moon, Mars, mine those other planets for the resources that they have in them. And Lord knows what else. I don't, you know. My knowledge only goes so far. I do know in the last days, we would be helping free all these freed humans off these other planets. They're being held prisoners. And so I look forward to that, because you often wonder, you know, when we're taken up to heaven, what are we going to do? I can imagine I'll be enjoying it for about a week, and then it's like, I'll be looking for something to get into. You know, I know I'm not going to be much different there than I am here. And, I can see it now. I'll be getting my Oregon warriors together, and we'll be taking off to these other planets and stuff, freeing humans that have been held captive there. And this is something the Father has shown me years ago. And before you laugh me off the planet for saying that, let me read you something out of the Book of Revelation, chapter 14. And this is about the 144,000 that are taken up to heaven. And they sung, as it were, a new song before the throne and before the four beasts and the elders, and no man could learn that song but the 144,000 which were redeemed from the earth. They are they which were not defiled with women, for they are virgins. Now, often these terms are used in religious terms. Not defiled with women. They weren't defiled by the harlots, the churches, the prostitutes, the whores. They are virgins. They're not defiled by them. We're not covered with their false doctrines and apostasies. These are they which follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. These were redeemed from among men, being the first fruits unto God and to the Lamb. And in their mouth was found no guile, for they are without fault before the throne of God. We are found blameless. And we are the redeemed from the earth, the first fruits unto God, the 144,000. Now, this ties in with something that the Father had shown me years ago, where this Oregon war I had started was totally unexpected. None of the apostles knew what would happen. That's why it was unforeseen. My bloodline goes to King David. I'm his ancient granddaughter. He's my ancient grandfather, however you want to look at it. And just as he fought against the giants in his day, I stood up to fight against them in mine. And our group, this Oregon, what I termed the Faction 4 Oregon Warriors, because I would always see in the Bible codes how we were a faction. The Father had made us as his own branch. We're a branch on a tree. I know you're familiar with that symbology. He's the tree. There's many branches. We are our own branch on his tree. We have been grafted in and made a part of the 144,000. That's why he started calling us the Faction 4 of the 144. And this group is redeemed among men, the first fruits unto God. Now, if you want to call that a rapture, I don't care what you call it. But let's get something straight. There's not going to be no rapture where 10 million, 50 million Christians just appear in the middle of the day and planes are flying into buildings and cars are running off the road like they depict in these Hollywood get-up movies. And I'll tell you why. Because simply there's not that many people that will be taken. The churches want you to think that the entire church system of apostate religions is going to be raptured before the tribulation happens and nothing bad is going to happen to them. And that's how they put them all to sleep. Oh, we're not worried about the last days. The Father's going to take us out of here. We're going to be raptured. What's this say? 144,000 are the first fruits unto God. They're the rapture. And if you further look into the term first fruits, it means firstborn. Well, what's firstborn? The elect. The elect. The firstborn. Firstborn was first created. Now go back and read my articles, Angels in the Flesh. Those are the elect, the firstborn. Angels in the flesh, angels that came to heaven, came to earth from heaven and fulfill roles here on earth. Now we go back to the Father. That's why he says what the Father gives him, he would never lose out of his hand, because we came down from heaven, we're going back to heaven. Now, what's this mean for everybody else? Now, there's also a redemption on the earth from of the Church of Philadelphia right before the hour of tribulation comes upon the earth. Now, there are seven churches signifying all of the believers in the last days. They're all grouped in seven groupings. So no matter who you are, if you're a believer in the Most High God, you're put in a group. You're put in a ranking. And there's seven of them. And the Church of Philadelphia, this one group, symbolically called Church of Philadelphia, it's all symbology, is the one that's been found faithful to him. They've been loyal. They've been faithful. And he is going to save them from the hour of tribulation. So he takes them before this begins, so you can look at it as another rapture. Now you've got the Church of Smyrna. You're going to have problems with this because out of the seven groups, one is taken before the hour of tribulation. One is told to hang on for 10 days of persecution, and he will take them on the 10th day. Nobody really understands what that means. But the Church of Smyrna is also spared and saved. They are favored among the top seven with the Church of Philadelphia. So they will also be taken in, to heaven with the Father. Now what happens with the other, where the majority are, five groups? And this is the majority of Christendom. If you look at all the big mega churches, they fall within the lower five rankings, the five groups. They all, the majority of Christendom, falls within the lower five. They go through the tribulation period. They're the ones that are being rounded up in FEMA camps. Martial law, FEMA camps, red list, blue list. The majority will fall into that category because they're apostate. They don't listen. When the elect try to teach them, they laugh and they mock at them. I mean, the elect, you look at it, the 144,000, they're all little teachers. You know, I don't have followers. I teach leaders. Every one of the people associated with me is a teacher. They're teachers. They're prophets. They're part of the 144,000. They're the top of the creme of the creme. That's what the Father said. I would teach his prophets. They're the only ones who understand me. They understand me. They connect to me. They don't know why, but they connect to me. And then they figure it out as they wake up, as they begin to learn more. And the Father opens their eyes. Only the Father could open your eyes and ears. And that's the problem with the majority of the churches out there today. Their ears are closed. Their eyes are halfway shut. They can't see, they can't hear the truth. They just mock you. That's the majority, and that's the ones going through the tribulation period. They always say, oh, there's going to be a huge rapture, and then all those who are saved after they're gone are the ones that are persecuted. I know, I grew up in the religions before the Lord took me out. I think we've all been there. You know, he took us out and he said, teaching us the truth in all things because we're truth seekers. And we ask him for the truth. And so he gives it to us in measure, bits and measures here and there. And over time, you finally wake up and realize how much truth you have. And it doesn't make you any better because everybody laughs at you and mocks you. They think you're crazy. So let's settle a contradiction. Because in Revelation chapter 7, it talks about 144,000 of Israel being sealed on the earth. Is this the same group in 14? No. Because if you look at the description of the 144,000 and 12,000 from each tribe of Israel that are sealed on earth, they're given a stamp, a seal in their forehead by an angel. And they go through the earth during the tribulation period preaching the message of salvation. That is their goal. They're little evangelists. And they are on earth during the time of the two witnesses. And that is during the time of the Great Tribulation, the last half. The other 144,000, remember, were taken before the hour starts. They were first fruits redeemed off the earth. He writes his name in their forehead, and they learn the song of Moses, and they go where he goes. And there's another interesting aspect that I wanted to bring up, because he showed me this years ago. And if you look at Armageddon, in chapter 19 of Revelation, it talks about how I'm trying to skip through this. I'll start at verse 7. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife has made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for fine linen is the righteousness of saints. And he said unto me, Write, blessed are they which call unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he saith unto thee, These are the true sayings of God. Okay. And I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat on him was faithful and true, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. This means the saints, the people who were taken up to heaven, will return with him at the War of Armageddon. Also talks about in Zechariah's clouds. Go down a little bit. And I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried with a loud voice, saying unto all the fowls that fly in the midst of heaven, Come and gather yourself together under the supper of the great God. Down 19. And I saw the beast, and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against him that sat on the horse and against his army. Now, the war will take place in the Valley of Megiddo, which is why they get the term Armageddon, Valley of Megiddo. Satan knows that Yahushua is coming with armies of his saints. And so he gathers the kings of the world, all the nations together, and their military forces in the Valley of Megiddo for a war, a battle, because he's going to fight Yahushua as he returns to earth. And this is what's called the Battle of Armageddon. Notice he's not coming to institute an economic worldwide plan. He's not coming to revamp our politics. He's not coming to institute an economic plan, a global government, a global religion. He's coming to destroy the wicked. The War of Armageddon, the Battle of Armageddon. It's not even Armageddon, a battle, because all he has to do with his words of his mouth is speak their destruction and they destroy themselves. And what's this say? Verse 20, And the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast, and them that worshipped his image. Those both were cast alive into a lake of fire burning with brimstone. These are actual people. I get so tired of hearing people say, oh, it's a system. The beast is a system. It's a government. It's actually a person too. The Antichrist and false prophet are beings. People. They're not governments. They're people that man government. And they caused everybody in the world to receive the mark of the beast. And all those that follow them will be cast into the lake of fire with them. But what I find interesting is when you read this account of the Battle of Armageddon, and I have it in one of my articles, and I know I've done a show on this, I mentioned it before. The the angels come out from all four corners of the ends of the heavens. Okay, and that's what can't nail the scripture. Someone will send it to me after the show. It always happens. Because I don't expect to talk about this stuff, so I'm not prepared. I was going these rabbit trails, but I asked the Lord to lead and guide what I say during the show. And then he has me going all over the place. But the angels are pulled from all everywhere in the heavens. And then they're all brought to the Father, to the, you know, Yahushua. And they're given horses, and they return with him as his armies to earth at the Battle of Armageddon. So what are we doing at the ends of the heavens? You know, if you have this picture like I always did, we're all sitting up there playing harps. And there's not much to do in heaven, and, well, it's probably boring, and everybody's just sitting around laughing and talking, and, yeah, we get these weird images. But I'll tell you what truth. During that time when this first group of 144,000 is taken up to heaven, before the hour of tribulation, the first fruits unto God, redeemed from men, which means they're people here on earth, And they're taken right before the 144,000 are sealed on earth. We're going to be busy. We're going to be busy, and we're going to be up there, and we're going to be freeing. Well, I will be. I don't know what everybody else is going to be doing. Those who want to come with me will be with me. Probably every one of these Orgon warriors that have been fighters here on earth are going to be the same in heaven. We'll just go off and start freeing all these people held captive on all these other planets, because Satan begins to lose his, he's lost his ownership of heaven. Because if you read in Revelation chapter 12, Michael in the war against Lucifer, and he casts him down to heaven, because what's done above is done below. Our Argon is pulling Satan out of heaven. We're destroying his ships. And so likewise, Michael will cast them all down to earth as cause and effect. Well, he no longer owns space. And the air is going to be so saturated that it's killing a lot of these aliens that live on these starships and constellations and formations everywhere in these planets. And so they'll no longer be in charge to begin with. They lose their control of space. And so we'll be going in and just freeing all these people out of there, you know? That's what we'll be doing. That's what I'll be doing. I don't know what you'll be doing, but that's what I'll be doing. That's just part of me, freeing the captives, you know, making war against the wicked and freeing the captives. It's just who I am. It's what I've always done. And so that's what me and Rachael will be doing, and anybody else who follows us. You know, she's the same way I am. So right before he comes to earth, he gathers all the angels who are on missions and assignments and doing other things all over the universe. He gathers them together to come to earth with him. Isn't that cool? I'll just throw that out there. Y'all like to learn new stuff. I've talked about this before. Maybe not a lot. I know I've mentioned it. So, yeah, there's two groups of 144,000. Why the church has always taught one group, I don't know. But it's one of the things, one of the first truths when I started praying for the truth in all things that Father taught me. Anyway, back to this. That was a long rabbit trail. Back to this thing where this UFO invasion that's coming, where I told you that they actually do have their own ships and how the countries have their own ships. Well, when they do decide to invade Earth, this global event, they will work alongside the aliens to fulfill this facade of a huge global alien invasion. It will be mixed ships. It will be humans and aliens. It's not just oh, it's a facade, it's all a lie, it's all man-made vehicles, and it's not all alien vehicles. It's a combination of both, because what happened was we pulled so many out of the sky and burned them and fried them with our Oregon War. They don't have enough to make this huge, massive global presence, and so they're going to fill in their ranks with man-made UFOs to make the picture and illusion seem all that much larger. And that's what's freaking out the Russians. That's what's got Putin going, because Putin's saying, oh, it's coming from the West, and they're up to something, and it's all tied into the event that's supposed to take place in September or October, end of September into October, probably that time frame there. Because he knows the same thing I've been saying, telling you guys for years, is that America is in cahoots with the aliens. I mean, look how many fortresses and underground palaces we've built them. We call them bases. Some of these things are literal palaces. I mean, these aliens live high on the hog. They have gold, silver, jewels. They live like kings and queens. Better than you and me. It's not going to last, though. A lot of it has been melted and destroyed, and it will continue to be. But the rest of the world knows that the United States is working hand-in-hand with Sananda and this whole Allah and Maitreya, these ascended beings that are coming. And I do see them coming, and somebody, Brother Rich, posted something on about a comet being seen in Iran, and that being a sign of their coming I'm Am Messiah. I said to keep your eyes on Iran. Maitreya will be associated with Iran. And yeah, they are coming. The month of August is very full of their arrivals. But, you know, like I said, I've seen this come and go so many times in the codes. Will they come? Well, let's see. I know when they do come, we're here and we're shocked. We're shocked they finally came. Because we've been calling their arrival for years. It's like, okay, here's an arrival date, and every year it comes and goes. Nothing happens. So when it finally does happen, we're shocked. I see this in the codes. And so let them come. Let them shock me. Shock me. Surprise me. let's get something going here. Because I know I'm going one place, and that's up. One out of here. So, the next couple months are going to be very interesting. The month of August, they're still trying to foray around here, and, you know, they always have plans and dreams of attacking me and shutting me up, and you know, it's not going to happen. So, realistically, what's going to happen the month of August? And we're just waiting for their arrival to do something. Leave Ohio alone and go do their agendas. Because Ohio is nothing to them but death. When they come to Ohio, I roll them in, we trap them, we burn them, we crash them. I mean, come on, aren't they sick of the cycle? Leave Ohio alone and go get your other crap done. Go play God in the Middle East and get all the Muslims going, ooh, our mind man is here. And then Allah arrives and we got the beast and Antichrist, false prophet show going on. Let's just get it going. Let's quit spinning our wheels on the same stuff that doesn't work. They keep thinking, okay, the special forces are going to get it. The Navy is going to get it. Oh, the Japanese are going to get it. Oh, we're going to send them the Chinese this time. Oh, we'll use Russians. It doesn't work. Stop wasting your time on me and go get your agendas rolling in the Middle East. I'm sick of it. But nothing but delays. I'm tired of delays. What they want is when the father comes to take the faction four home, they want to be here to fight him. And so sometimes you see the setup in videos about how this asteroid's coming in and the government's, you know, what's that movie with Bruce Willis? Day After or something, I don't know, but they destroy the comet and asteroid. But they're really trying to destroy and fight against the Father coming to get the first fruits off the earth. It's really just a war at this point. And so they're all gathering here because I have a portal here. And they know the Father will use it. And so they're gathering around it because they want to fight him when he tries to take us home. And it's funny because you always see how the government and the Pentagon send their assassins over here. There's very one well known on the internet. I'm not going to say his name, but every time I see his name, I know it's close. Something's going to happen because they want to send him here to shoot at the believers as they're leaving. I don't know why. I mean, seriously. I guess this is the best they got for planes. They don't like us when we're here, but they want to prevent us from leaving? I mean, come on, take a side. What are you going to do? Take a side. Prevent us or keep us? You know, they get rid of us. They want us gone, but then they fight you leaving. They just don't learn. They don't learn this whole parachute thing that they had going. Well, they were gonna attack Ohio with all these UFOs, these parachutes, this parachute attack, all these aliens coming down, and what the codes could best describe us in our language is parachutes. Really? Don't you think we could put up shields of fire to burn every one of them as they came down? I mean, okay. I have to bite my tongue and I can't even say anything half the time because their plans are so ludicrous, I just laugh. I mean, really? Talk about, that's why they say the sky's on fire, because it's all those stupid aliens trying to descend in parachutes. I just laugh at the thought. So now they're back to ships and then back to other stuff. And I'm saying, don't go back to anything. Just stop. Leave Ohio alone and get on with your stupid agendas. Get on with your stupid plans. Go to your little Middle East, put your towel head on, and then go play Messiah. And let's get this going. So, August, Saint Germain, Maitreya, maybe one or both will arrive. I don't expect a lot of fireworks until September. You know, I think once Shemitah ends, starting from September 11th on is when we'll start seeing the ball roll. You know, it's funny because when you tell people the stock market's going to crash, the majority don't even care because nobody has any money to put in the stock market. The only ones affected by it are Keynes kids. All the rich on the earth are mostly Keynes kids and the kids of Esau. Everybody else is broke. None of that affect us if you guys lose money. What does affect us is a dollar collapse. So there's two different things. The stock market crash has never affected the poor people, but a dollar collapse affects everybody. And that's when crap's going to hit the fan, because a dollar collapse means the government can't pay its bills, which means people on welfare and Social Security and health or retirement or any kind of money coming in, all that money stops because the government can't pay their bills. And that's when the clouds start rolling. So, I'll still be here to I'm not going to sit here and start pounding the drums too loudly for September. I'm going to give it, you know, a little bit a week. Keep you guys adjusted to it coming, but there's other things I can be talking about. Fun stuff. What I think is fun stuff. You know. So, keep an eye on the moon, because that's been converted into a Buffalo Starship. It really is. I'll just say it. And like I said, Buffalo is another term for these Ascended Masters, these New Agers coming, cosmic beings coming. They have taken over the moon. It's one of their starships. That's why you never see it do anything normal. It like rises in the east and then goes sits in the southeast. And it stays there. Now, some of you who are more acute to what's going on with the pole shifting would probably say it's rising in the north and then heads to the south, to the east, which is the old southeast, which would probably be accurate. I mean, it's crazy because the pole is shifting and we've reached about 34 degrees shift. And according to this one scientist, when we hit 40 degrees is when the pole flip will happen. So how long do you think 7 degrees, reaching 7 degrees, would take? Since 1990, I think it was what he was saying, we have moved over 1,000, the North Magnetic Pole has moved 1,500 miles from where it was in 1990. It's heading towards Siberia, which is Russia. Right now, you could draw a straight line in between the continent of Greenland and New England, straight up the Atlantic Ocean, and that's where the North Pole would be right now. When it gets all the way over to Siberia, which isn't that many degrees over, that's when most of them believe a complete flip will occur. So it's August now. So theoretically, depending on how much faster it takes us to hit 7 degrees, to hit 40, it could happen in October, November, December 2016. I mean, it could hit us any time from September on. We could be experiencing a pole flip. Definitely on the horizon. Definitely something that you're looking at thinking, whew, this is what Enoch talked about. He said the seasons would be in and out of their seasons. In other words, you know, where it used to be cold, it's going to be hot. When it's hot, it's going to be cold. Fruit that grows, vegetables that grow in the summer would be growing in the winter. Instead, all the months are going to be out of whack. And that's because of... Anyway, folks, my time is running out. This old bat's telling me 90 seconds. So I still need your support. Gotta support the best ministry on the planet, folks. The Lord's mouthpiece here on Earth. Till next week, everybody. Y'all bless.